Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 123 of the milk bar. No Zoe this week, and I did mention last week I wasn't sure what was going to be going on, because I now find myself at the Wings Over Houston Air Show, Houston, Texas, and with me, Pete Clements. Hello, sir.
Hi, how's it?
Well, it's good for me, and it's glorious weather here, and it's a little bit cooler than the last time I was over.
Yeah, this is getting nice in Houston now. I mean, we're only going to go up to about 88 today, so it's a nice cool day for us over here.
Now, people off Wolverhampton will know you from many, many years working at Beacon, the Cat's Whisker, the overnight show, and all the other stuff that you've done over the years. But now you find yourself in Houston, adopted by the city. What happened? How come you never run a fencing firm over here?
Well, I was at Beacon 20 years, and I was there when it was fun. And then gradually, as the management changes and the corporate side came in, it just wasn't fun anymore, Jason. So that was it. I decided it was time to make a move. I had friends in Houston. I really didn't know what I was going to do. I just sold my house. I sold everything I got. The rest went to the Compton Hospice. And I just ended up over here. And a friend of mine, also from England, was working with a fence company. So he got me involved with them. And it kind of just went along. And I eventually formed my own company. And now I kind of do gate operators and access systems. And I'm loving it. I mean, you can see what the weather's like here. I mean, now the hot weather's gone and we're only in the high 80s. It's wonderful. It's a great life.
But an absolute major change from playing classic rock, well, which was actually modern rock at the time, back in the 70s and early 80s.
Well, yeah, but after 20 years, I had enough. And the first few years I got over here, I didn't really miss it at all, to be honest. But as some people may know, I was back in the Midlands recently, about a month ago, and I did do a little bit on a radio station there, and I must confess the bug is beginning to bite again. So who knows, maybe I might make a return sometime via the internet. Who knows?
The magic of the internet could bring the Cat's Whisker back to the airwaves.
It would be nice. I mean, I must admit, I really did enjoy what I did when I was over there. I didn't think I would, but it was just like being, it was 14 years since I'd done anything on the radio. And it was just like being thrown back, and it was just like nothing had ever changed. I'd like to thank all those people who made that possible. It was great.
Absolutely brilliant. Glad you enjoyed that event. But we're down here today at a rather big event for Houston. Now, is this the first time you've been down here, or is it one of the regular haunts since your move out to the States?
This is about the third time I've been. I've been here 14 years. It's about the third time I've been to the Wings Over Houston Air Show. It's something very similar. I think you said as we were coming down here, it's a bit like Cosford. I mean, the basics are very much the same every year. So it's not something I want to come to year after year after year. But seeing you were coming along, I thought, hey, let's treat him, let's get that ticket, and let's get down there and enjoy the Wings Over Houston.
It should be good. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant weather. We've got a remote control display on at the moment, which isn't really as big as the planes we're going to see a bit later. But I have the brochure in front of me, and having a quick flick through, it does look like a major event. Are there explosions as well?
Oh, yes. You may hear some of them later, and they are pretty impressive explosions. They do a kind of a Pearl Harbor reenactment. I mean, obviously, we haven't got an ocean here, but they have all the Japanese Zeros and the American plane. I'm not a great plane guy, so I don't... Mustangs and whatever they flew in the day. And that's quite impressive. I think you're going to be impressed by that. I don't think it's the kind of thing you see at Cosford.
It's, you have nothing left of Dave Austin Roses down the road, would you, for starters? That would be a bit of an issue. Right, well, we'll have a little look around there. We'll have a chat with a few people as and when they let us, because I think I signed something to say I wouldn't record anything whilst I was in the country on the way in. It's one of those immigration things, but we won't let on. Okay.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, it's a secret. So, Pete, you've actually worked on Ellington Fields and you're fencing guys, haven't you?
Yeah, with one of the companies we came down. In fact, we're standing by some magnificent handrails that the company did. So this was somewhere where I actually had to get a pass and, you know, a little badge that you wear to get on. Because this is, I don't know if it's still a military base, but this is where they fly the president in if he comes to Houston. And, you know, I've seen Air Force One go over where I used to live, which wasn't far away from here for a while.
I suppose it happened more when it was the Bushes, because they've got really big links to Texas, haven't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Daddy Bush still lives in Houston, goes to all the Astro games, and, of course, George W. now lives in Dallas. But now they still use this as a bit of a base, not as much as it was a few years ago. It did get kind of sized down in the budget cuts.
Nowy Jerry Patterson at a 1944 Centadel. Tell me a little about this plane, because it's got quite an interesting feature or two.
Well, it is. It's an observation aircraft that was flown in the Battle of Okinawa. This actual aircraft is a warbird flown by Marine Observation 2, VMO-2, in the Battle of Okinawa. I've had it about a year and a half. When they got finished with it in World War II, they sold it surplus in 1946 to Utah State College. Stayed there for 50 years. It was restored, and it's been owned by four people since that time. So I fly it around Texas. It's comfortable, but kind of slow. I mean, you know, you can't get hot in this airplane because you just open the doors or the windows and get some natural ventilation. But the unique thing about this aircraft is that it is a genuine warbird. The mission was observation, artillery, naval gunfire, spotting. And this one is the ambulance model. If you look back here, you see, you know, if you fold that aft seat forward, you can strap a litter in there. So this was used to evacuate wounded Marines in the Battle of Okinawa. Or we think it was. We just know it was there. We don't know exactly what it did.
Yeah, I haven't got a record of what it actually did, but it's likely, based on the design of the aircraft, it will have been used, because these things didn't go out there and were ever not put into full service, were they?
Well, you know, you didn't fly this around in combat just to be flying around. You had a mission.
Now, this particular plane has a face on the front, eyes, and it's looking quite aggressive there. It wouldn't have had that when it was initially in service, would it?
Well, you don't know. I mean, a Marine with some paint does a lot of different things. And so we put this shark tooth mouth with one gold tooth on there and evil eyes. We don't know if that was on there or not, but there was no standardization when you were deployed in combat. You know, you got a Marine, he's got time on his hands, he's got some paint, he's got some paintbrushes. There's no telling what you could find on an aircraft.
And what sort of range and height could this plane get to?
Well, the surface ceiling, I think, is around 16,000 feet. I've never had it above 6. It cruises at about 90 miles, 95 miles an hour. I keep the throttle back. I don't want to, you know, hurt the engine too much. And it would go, I don't like to fly it over 3 hours for two reasons. My gas gauges are direct reading floats in the wing tank, so you got this little gauge bouncing around. And I'm also butt limited. 3 hours of flying and I've about had all I can handle.
It's not a comfortable seat.
It's, you know, it's comfortable, but sitting down anywhere for 3 hours and the seat compresses after a while. It's padded, but then all of a sudden the padding keeps getting thinner. And so it's not all that comfortable after about 3 hours.
And where do you go around Texas and around the U.S. with this?
Well, I've flown it around Texas, all over Texas. I've flown it down to the border. The first flight I had, I landed on the Rio Grande on a dirt strip that was used by the Army Air Corps in 1916 to fly missions against Pancho Villa. So that was my first Texas landing. And I'm an elected official, so I campaign in it. I fly around Texas running for re-election this time last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, many more years happy flying in this one, I hope. Do you have any plans for what will happen next? I mean, are you ever thinking of selling on, or is it going to stay with you for a few decades?
Well, it's going to stay with me as long as I can fly it. I'm 65. I hope I can fly it another 10, 15 years.
Heading across the airfield now, and there's a lot of noise in the background. Pete has spotted a helicopter. Pete, you like your helicopters, don't you?
That's why I made a beeline for this one. I've got to see if this one takes off and get a few shots.
So the camera is at the ready. In fact, you're the man who has managed to film me when I was landing the first time I came to Houston. You got footage of me in a KLM plane.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We'll have to drag that out when we get back to the base of operations.
And you do tend to find aircraft is something that does interest you, because I know you were sat at the end of the runway waiting for that plane to come in.
I was. Unfortunately, I was sitting at the end of the wrong runway, but I tried.
We haven't seen that many aircraft taking off yet, have we?
I think there's a couple of aerobatic ones up here now. Look if we look up here. But as I said, my fascination is with helicopters. So
there's actually a queue for some of the Marines planes we saw a little bit earlier on.
Absolutely, yeah. The Hurricane Hunter was down there we saw, and there was a helicopter. But I'm not big on queues. I left the UK. I didn't want to stand in another queue. Here I am.
Well, let's see whether this one takes off and see whether we can get any noise of that taking to the air. Well, it would seem that's the sound of a US Coast Guard helicopter getting out of the way of the public before taking off, wouldn't it?
I think so. I've never seen a helicopter taxi before.
It was different.
Yes, absolutely. Very impressive for my video.
I'm with Ulf now, and he has a C-60 Loadster here at the air show today. Tell us a bit about this plane.
Well, this particular airplane here has been totally restored. It was born in 1943, actually, and is configured as a C-60A as a paratroop transport.
Now, that can take up to 18 paratroopers, and how would it have been used in action?
Well, this particular airplane, we are still researching the records. It was used in the Philippines, I believe, with the Army for, again, for landing paratroopers. It came back after the war, and it was used in South America. We found it had one military application in one Ecuador, I believe it was, where it actually went into the river and got recovered and rebuilt. And it came back to the United States, and it has been used here for storm research. It was repainted in some airline colors at one time and used as a transport. And then back to what you see now. This aircraft was located in Nacogdoches, Texas in the late 90s. It's been sitting on the ground for some 20 years. And it was acquired by the West Houston Squadron at that time and ferried back in 2002. And we started rebuilding it at that time. But it's been the last year and a half that we just decided to get it done. So this airplane has now flown 3.4 hours total since we restored it, and this is the first air show we are taking it to.
And is it going to take to the skies today, or is it purely for people to look at?
Yes, we are still trying to training pilots, an instructor pilot to be signed off, and then we're going to train our own pilots. This week it goes back to West Houston for pilot training, and we are going to take it on the air show circuit in the spring.
So then the people across Texas and across the United States will be able to see a true paratrooper plane in action.
Correct. And I believe this is the only one that's left. That is the original configuration. That was not modified one way or another.
So did it have weapons as well?
No, this particular one had no weapons on that I know of. It was just a straight transport. I guess the pilot had his Colt 45, but that was about it.
But at speed, that wouldn't be a lot of use as you were flying through the skies.
No. This one is fairly fast, you know. It's faster than the C-47s that were paratroop airplanes in Europe. And it's slightly smaller than that, but I don't think they could defend themselves against anything. You know?
Now, you're actually originally from Sweden, so what brought you to the States?
In 1964, the United States Air Force invited me to come over for a year. I was an aerospace engineer at the time and had just finished my military service over there. And I was an engineer. And after, I had a good time. I did a lot of fun. I was at Edwards Air Force Base, Air Force Flight Test Center. And so after 3 years, they made me a citizen. So in 1967, I said, well, I might as well stay. And I've been there ever since, you know.
Made it your home.
I sure did.
So, Pete, we're walking past what is described as a Guppy aircraft. What on earth is that all about? Because it's a NASA aircraft.
Correct, yeah.
They don't run passenger flights now, do they?
Not unless you have very, very tall people. No, this was a transport plane, best of my knowledge. And I've actually seen this flying around this area. I used to live about 6 or 7 miles away from where we are at Ellington right now for a couple of years. So this thing still does fly around, and I think they just take it up for keep the hand in practice, to be honest with you.
Well, they're reading through the information on the side, I mean, this one's been in service since the mid to late 60s, and it's supported a lot of the programs like Gemini and Apollo. But it's a massive cargo plane. It looks so strange. It looks more like a balloon than a plane, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it amazes me every time I see it. I mean, as I say, when I've been down here 3 or 4 times, and it's always here, and to see it fly is just incredible. I mean, it's just, you think, how is that staying up there? No idea.
Heard come past an F-18 Super Hornet, and that's one of the more modern planes you've seen today.
Absolutely, so far. I think there's going to be a few more coming up, but if my memory serves me correctly.
Coming up next, he's going to demonstrate how he can change heading very, very rapidly.
And I've got the nasty feeling that'll be quite noisy again.
I think that's the general idea. There's lots of kids here with their fingers in their ears.
We've seen some of the old planes with the word cat at the end. This one, the Hornet. the commentators having trouble down here as well.
Aren't you going to have fun if you try and edit this? You're going to have fun.
With Don Johnson there from the Executive Committee of the Wings Over Houston Air Show, with its 27th annual event taking place. So tell us a bit about the history.
Well, we started this in 1984. Your math is right. The two units of the Commemorative Air Force located here in Houston started an air show. And this is a result after 27 years of experience. It's grown every year. It's gotten larger. We have about 85 to 90,000 people over the two-day period. We have 6 hours and 5 minutes of flying this year, which is more than probably any other air show in North America. And it's all good quality stuff. Our vintage warbirds, which of course is our cause, and modern military. And you have seen some of the examples thus far. We're about halfway through.
An amazing air show and an amazing family day out. And it just seems to be as popular as ever anything like this can be. Certainly flying in the face of the global economic crisis.
That's true. And our numbers are still holding steady. And we appreciate that, believe me. And it's like you said, it's a family event because they're almost nothing but family units here, as you can see. It appeals to everybody, the sound and the noise to the kids. And it'll get louder here in about 45 minutes when Tora flies. And it's just a great spectacle, and it seems to be enjoyed by everybody.
And what do you get here that's unique to Houston?
Well, we always have, usually almost always have a national act if they're available. This year we have the Canadian Snowbirds, and they're wonderful. They're a great bunch of, they're all male this year. Last year they had a female, and I met them last year. They're nice people. They fly a Canadian Tudor, which is a training aircraft. But it's a slower act, but there are more of them that are involved. There are 9 aircraft in the formation, and it's almost like a ballet. It's why I describe it to people, and some of them say, yeah, it is. It's really, really nice.
And I actually think that can be quite difficult because the planes do go past quite quickly. So you're getting them to circle a few times so everyone experiences each of the planes coming past. Are you specifically looking for certain acts that will give more to the audience?
Well, we do. This year we mixed it up a little bit. We have the group that's flying right now are called Heavy Metal. They're, I think all of them are ex-military pilots, and they're flying L-39s, which is a Eastern European block jet trainer. And they also have, if you watched, a MiG-17 integrated with them. So there are a 6-ship team, and I have not seen them. I think this is the first year they're touring on the aircraft circuit, and it's a great act. It's a terrific act.
And I'll be going around and actually looking at some of the NASA aircraft that are here as well. Being so close to the Johnson Space Center, it gives you a chance to show off that sort of thing, which you're not going to see elsewhere.
No, there's only one Super Guppy, and it's right back over your left shoulder. And it's an interesting thing to see. At times we have had the 747 that carries the Space Challenger happen to be here in town for the weekend, and we had that. Yes, good NASA assets. The T-38s are back down. The trainers are back down there to the south. And NASA is very kind to us to let us use their facilities for our pilot registration. So we have a real good relationship with NASA.
And also a chance to get hands-on with some of the aircraft as well, actually making your way through the planes.
Yes, the Warbird ramp is usually, when we're flying, it's sterile, so you can't really get in there without a pass. But prior to that, for at least 4 or 5 hours beforehand, you can walk up and talk to the people if they're hanging out with the aircraft. We have our heavy vintage bombers on the front row, the world's only flying B-29, a B-24, one of, I believe, 2 that are flying. Two B-17s, one of which is ours, and the other one's our good friend's Lone Star Flight Museum, and a whole bunch of tactical fighters and trainers.
And what's in store for the 2012 show? Is much more planned? It must take more than 12 months to get these acts together.
It does. Actually, you almost sign up these folks 2 years in advance. We'll have the Blues next year, the Blue Angels.
And what sort of thing could people expect to see from them?
Well, just about everybody, when we tell them about our air show, they always ask, are the Blues coming? Because the Blues have a very strong national reputation. So we say yes, or 2 years from now, or whatever. But next year is going to be them. They fly a very, very interesting act. Our two national military acts, the Thunderbirds and the Blues, fly very interesting acts. A lot of power, demonstration, sound, and fury. But it's like, you know, this is what's defending America. And people really like that.
So if people do want to plan ahead and maybe look at next year's air show, maybe traveling from the UK, it's time to get their bookings for holidays in now. Tell us about the website and what people can find on there.
It's, wingsoverhouston.com. And we also have a Facebook page, I'm told by our webmaster, and I've seen it a few times. And so you can keep in touch with us there and register your opinion. If you've been, tell us your opinion. We're looking for customer feedback for that, and we found that Facebook is pretty valuable in that regard.
Don, I'm sure it's all good feedback for a great day for this way. I mean, family day out, but also a chance to see some fantastic aviation and smell the burning aviation fuel in the air as well. That must be part of the buzzer too.
Oh, it is. It's like to paraphrase whatever his name was, it's that kerosene in the morning smells pretty good. But it's we have a lot of fun, and we enjoy it, and we hope we want to make our customers happy and keep them coming back, and we have a lot of repeat customers, and we like that.
Don, thank you, and thank you to you and your committee for pulling this event together.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Pete, we've just seen Toro Toro Toro, the explosive one we were on about, the Japan versus America with full light show and explosions.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, isn't it? I say three or four times I've seen it now, and you just feel the heat and everything. Incredible.
Yeah, on a warm day in Houston, to get even more heat, you don't expect.
No, absolutely not.
But the clouds of smoke pluming into the air, and an amazing show, and a great way of telling a story about a tragic event.
Absolutely, and they do a fantastic job. I mean, the actual coordination of all of that flying is absolutely amazing. I mean, if you're ever in Houston in October, you really, really have to come and see this Wings Over Houston.
There's quite a large radio presence down here at the Wings Over Houston Air Show. Part of that is Drew Wilson, who's here with KSBJ Radio. I'm reading that off your T-shirt.
Yeah, we're part of KSBJ and Engine Radio. KSBJ is a contemporary Christian radio station here in Greater Houston area, and also our additional station, Engine Radio, which plays more current rock and hip-hop, all Christian artists, though, as well. But yeah, we're absolutely excited to be here. Wings Over Houston is one of the biggest events that brings families and people out in Houston. Like, I think over 90,000 people come out to an event like this, so it's a great opportunity for us to come out and meet our listeners, and we give away tickets on the air, and just it's a great family event, and so it works perfectly with our station. We're glad to be here.
And what sort of response have you had from people coming to see you today? Because you have a bit of an airplane-themed game taking place on your stand.
We do. We've had a great response today. We have a game that we play. We have these balsa wood airplanes, and the people try to throw them through the different holes in our banner and win prizes. And it's been so busy, it's been steady, and the response of our listeners, because we really have a wonderful listener base here in Houston that are just like, we have the greatest listeners ever. They're so excited. They come and they volunteer with us, and they come and they hang out, and they're just so excited to come play a game, just to come hang out and meet some of the staff and some of the people here at KSBJ. So we're always just, I'm overwhelmed all the time at the way the people here of Houston just respond to KSBJ and will come out and just be so excited to even throw an airplane with us.
Now, I mean, Christian radio in the UK, there isn't a Christian radio station that covers the whole of the country. Mm-hmm. There are some things on digital radio. And in a lot of ways, the main Christian broadcasters you get tend to be more senior in years, possibly with the exception of Ali Jones, who works on radio too. But, I mean, yourself, how old are you?
28. I'm 28.
And what is that sort of fitting with the demographic of most of the presenters on your station?
It's kind of varied because we have two stations. KSBJ is more targeted to the family. So we see a lot of listeners around the 35-year-old. That's where our target is. And a lot of our staff is around there as well. Well, as far as our other station, Engine Radio, that's more targeted to college and young singles and young professionals. And so all the staff members of Engine Radio, which I'm kind of between both stations, are less than 30. Normally between 25 and 30 is the majority of our staff there. And so really it kind of matches the demographic, and the staff kind of is the same for each station respectively.
And do you do this sort of thing very often? You're able to get out in the community and have a chat with your listeners on a regular basis?
Definitely. That's actually my job for KSBJ and Engine. I'm the promotions manager for Engine, and I'm part of the promotions team for KSBJ. So like a lot of what I do is go out and events like Wings Over Houston, the other big events that go on in town, maybe if some of our artists are performing at a concert, maybe a local church is bringing in one of our artists. Well, we'll go out, set up a tent, meet the listeners, give away tickets. It's really, I think, the strength of Christian radio is really in the community, because you can get music anywhere now. You can go to Pandora, you can listen on YouTube. The music is not the only thing we offer. really the great thing about Christian radio here is the fact that we connect with our listeners. We pray with them, we support them, we encourage them, and so the music is a big part of it, but really the connection with the community is what we do best.
And if people do want to connect with you via your website, can people do that pretty much anywhere on the planet, I take it?
That's right, ksbj.org. ksbj.org is the main website there. You can also check us out at engineradio.com, which is N-G-E-N radio.com, which kind of stands for the Now Generation. And that's the station that's more towards rock and hip-hop and definitely more of an online listenership there.
But all of it Christian music?
Yes, 100% Christian artists and just different flavors. Whatever kind of music you're into, KSBJ, more the contemporary, worship on Sunday mornings, more family-oriented, and whereas Engine is a little more like rock and hip-hop and a little edgier music. And so whatever style you are into, we try to serve both communities.
Drew, thanks for having a chat with us.
Hey, thanks for letting us. So pleasure to meet you and excited to be out here with you at Wings Over Houston. It's been a blast, and there's still more explosions to go, I'm pretty sure.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time at the Wings Over Houston Air Show. This is a big jet plane. Which one is it?
Oh, this is a Phantom. This is a classic. I love this one.
It's very loud.
It's apparently, I think it was one of the loudest jets there ever was, I think.
Well, we've been told it can go over twice the speed of sound. It's about to come past. We'll take a listen to it as I say goodbye from episode 123, back for episode 124 with Zoe from the Molyneux next week. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.